It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here, just back from the Microsoft event. They'll talk about the new Surfaces. 1809 is out. We've got a leather laptop, and the magic window has slammed shut. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 589, recorded Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. Cut the tip off closer to the end. Windows Weekly is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website at WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off any new plan purchase at WordPress.com/Windows. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we gather to talk about Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. He is he's a what is he? How do you describe a man like Paul Thurrott? He's a blogger, I guess. Journalist, covers Windows at Thurrott.com, writes fabulous tomes about Windows at leanpub.com. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Leo.
Mary Jo
Foley. I can't get my OneNote to sync.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's my line.
I know.
Stealing my line, man.
I don't know what's going on.
Mary Jo Foley is also here from allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her ZDNet blog. She's too smart to write books. But they were both at the old post office. No, I don't know. Where was it this year? Yesterday. I wish it was
at the old post office.
Yeah. It was down in about the furthest west corner of the West Village that you could have been in.
Where did they find that? I mean, why did they find that? What are they thinking?
I guess it was just like an industrial warehouse space that they said, oh, let's have an event there. That would be cool.
It didn't look – I'm going to pull up your picture of Paul and Brad Sams in making bad fashion choices. And it didn't look very big. It looked comfy.
Yep.
They were in nice black couch there, stretched out. But it looked like, I mean, there mustn't have been more than a couple hundred people there.
Yeah, it was small.
Yeah. I think
you see Bradley Cooper was there, Mariko?
Bradley Cooper?
Who is Bradley Cooper?
Whoa.
That guy. Oh,
the director of the new Star is Born.
Well,
Speaking of Star is Born.
So it turns out. Right.
Okay.
First of all,
did you send out a memo?
A few compliments on the quality of the legs.
Nice legs. Not bad. Where's Brad's leg hair is a question we won't delve into.
Oh, Brad is a little boy.
What I'm fascinated by is your choice of footwear, foot and sock wear, which seems to be, are you in sync?
Brad and I?
Yeah, look, you're both wearing half socks with some sort of weird slip-ons.
Okay, so...
Okay, Laporte, he says, okay.
We don't really synchronize the wardrobe or anything.
No, you look very sweet. Couches, though, that's odd.
I know.
That's odd.
Luckily, I had a lappable device on my lap.
Is that it on the right there, the Surface Book, or what is that?
Yep. No, that's mine. That's the HP Spectre that I brought.
Yes, I recognize
that. Every one of us has a lappable device. The Surface laptop is lappable. The Surface Book 2 is lappable.
Surface Book 2, sort of. Kind of tippy.
They really forced you into the lappable thing. I mean, that's the strangest setup for a press event I've ever seen.
I feel like they do that quite a bit, right?
Yeah, last year's Surface Book 2 event was a little bit like this, I would say. It was more of a half circle.
I'm looking for Bradley Cooper. I don't see him anywhere.
No,
was
so he would be
to
back
my
to the
left. Is that who was sitting next to me, Paul?
No, he was way in the back. He didn't come down front. So the reason he was there is that Panos Panay's brother works in Hollywood, and he worked on what do you call those movies? The Hangover movies.
Oh.
And I guess they're friends or something. Oh. So the thing is, like, this guy brought. So during the event, I heard a baby crying. And I leaned into Brad and I was like, is that a baby?
Somebody brought
And he's like,
baby.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So it was Bradley Cooper's baby. And brought his like tiny little kid to this event for some reason. It turns out Bradley Cooper is kind of a reclusive type of guy. He doesn't like interviews or photos or he doesn't like to talk to people. And I saw him, and I kind of took a back step. I'm not a big celebrity guy, but I caught the eye
of
about
as big as you get right now.
I guess so.
He's got a hot new movie, The Star is Born, with Lady Gaga. He's in it and directed it.
I had no idea who he was. He's huge. So that
the point
shows
is,
you me.
I'm like,
he's huge.
I thought this was the guy, and I met the eye of the an employee of the building, and he nodded. He was like, yeah, that's him. And I was like, cool. So I thought I'd just take a picture. And he did the weirdest.
Yeah.
Freaking dive to the floor.
Celebrities
don't
like
really?
That. Yeah, but he may not have wanted the baby in this child. Shot.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, if you don't want your photo taken, here's an idea: don't come to a press event with your child.
Yeah,
like I'm totally cool with it. Like, just say no photos. I'm not some like paparazzi stalker. I'd like, you know, it's like way to make me feel like a jerk. You know, like you're a celebrity out in the world. Who doesn't want their photo taken?
He's not. He's an actor and director. He's a working artist, and you're treating him like some piece of meat.
Yeah. I objectified him, right. That I was his Me Too moment.
Yeah, you were. Yeah,
that's exactly what happened.
And if you ever try to be in the Supreme Court, Paul, we know who's testifying.
Yep.
Bradley Cooper is this guy. Do you recognize him now?
Nope, I don't.
Nope. Bradley.
He was in Hangover. He was an American Sniper.
Oh, yeah. He's good in American Sniper.
I've never
Sniper.
Seen any that of those kind of, movies.
That kind of brought him back. That brought him
American
back.
American Sniper is a great movie.
Sounds like it. Okay. Sounds like
it's
Xbox.
It's the true story of a sniper from Afghanistan who came home and
maybe this trained, will help you, Mary Jo.
Try to recover from PTSD.
He's the voice of Rocket in the Avengers movies. The raccoon.
Okay.
Does that help?
No.
He is...
Guys, I'm like a cultural sinkhole.
I think so. You don't remember him in Wet Hot American Summer, first day of camp?
Surprising, I do not.
That I've not seen.
He's actually great. He's actually...
He was in the A-team, okay. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Hangover 1, Hangover 2, Hangover 3, Hangover the Hangover.
Progressively more terrible Hangover movies. Yeah.
Silver Linings Playbook, he practically won an Oscar. He's very good in that.
I think he should have won an award for American Sniper. It's an excellent movie.
No, I agree with you. In fact, Lisa hates him until American Sniper. Yeah, she thought. Oh. Every time Bradley's in a movie, she goes, I'm not seeing that.
Really?
But then she saw American Sniper, and she said, okay.
So, Mary Jo, if you've added to these notes, by the way.
Yes, I added.
He can't. Okay, he can't refresh.
I can't see him. Like,
he can't see him.
Oh, wow. You can't refresh at all?
I'll read them to you.
Want me to email it to you?
Yeah, actually, you know probably.
I mean, I didn't really change much. We've I'm never, just
yeah,
adding
but I don't
my
think
parts.
You. I don't think anything you did synced.
Okay, I just added something under Windows 10, 19H1. Do you see that?
Actually, I do see that.
Okay, so it
it's
did sync.
Miracle! It's a miracle.
It's working.
It's a miracle.
Could you tell me how OneNote works, please? I'm.
So this is how this is how we collaborate. We put it up on the screen, and we discuss.
Yeah.
Great. Finally. Somebody wrote in all caps.
Guess who wrote that?
You don't have to ask. A major new hardware announcement to discuss.
Right.
The HP Spectre. I see what you did there, Paul.
Well, I will say this. Microsoft's announcements are very interesting. We will go through them in great depth. But let's face it, this was an S year for Microsoft.
Yeah.
It literally shipped three devices in the exact same form factors as
black.
The devices that came out a year or two ago, whatever the time frame
is. I noted your tweet.
Which one?
The one that said no USB-C.
Yep.
Shocking.
Except on two devices that it was surprising that it was on, right?
Yeah.
Well, I would guess one is the Surface Studio, right?
Yep.
Because it's a desktop. You have to have USB-C on a desktop.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Well,
the headphones.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Yeah. We're going to talk about why not and why they say they didn't. Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about why they really didn't.
Right.
So, because there are diverging paths there.
Yeah.
Our paths diverted in the woods. You took the left way.
We should do the HP first, just because it happened first.
Did they have an event at the same time as Microsoft did?
It was the day before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, Mary Jo, you have that HP Spectre T, right?
I have the original one from like 2 years ago.
Copper and I do too, and I love it.
Yep, I like it. No touch,
it's beautiful.
No hello, just a nice basic clamshell.
That was one problem, and it's not super fast. But they are updating this now with the Folio, they call it.
This isn't the same computer.
Oh, okay.
This is a new computer. There was a lot of pressure to go to this event from HP, right? There was this notion that this was going to be like this amazing, life-changing kind of experience. And I have to give them some credit. They are the world's biggest PC maker. And they have made this unholy alliance of materials. Leather and metal. It's kind of
someone. This is a leather computer?
It is.
So this is not a cover on a computer, is what that looks like.
Oh, boy.
It is literally leather bound to various metals. In a multi-layer approach. And, when you hold it as a folio, like when it's closed, it seems like it's a leather folio.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I have to say this is pretty impressive. I feel like it's going to be slightly held back by the internals. It is a Y-series processor in there. It does at least have 8 gigs of RAM, full HD.
So this is an executive PC for people who don't need the processors.
Yeah. But here's the real innovation. I'm sorry.
This automobile quality leather. I call it football quality leather. It looks like a football.
I thought it felt like a basketball kind of.
I said basketball. Yeah, but exactly.
It's pigskin.
So it's the reason it's automobile quality is because actually it is, but it's designed to withstand, you rubbing against it constantly, and it's not going to get ruined. By the way, aside from the leather, which literally is an innovation, you can make that kind of comparison to Alcantara, which maybe we should. I actually think the real innovation here, and I say this having used many, many HPs that are convertibles that have like crazy origami style folding whatevers. This thing, the way that this folds, the way that you kind of bring the screen forward so that it's in like a consumption mode or keep bringing it forward so that it's in laptop mode is so natural and so normal and so immediately obvious. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of wonderful. And actually, coincidentally, this is right here. So the Intel version of the HP Envy X2, I don't know if I can show this to you. It looks like a folio kind of thing. It has this fake plastic, really, but kind of a fake.
Mary Jo and I both have this and loved the design.
No, you don't. You don't have.
We have the ARM version.
We don't have the Intel one. So
this one has a completely different way of folding, and it is ridiculously stupid.
Oh,
and the fact that Intel, HP, came out with these two devices within. So when you open this thing up, you can't really see this very well. This computer's not attached to anything. Oh. You have to attach it to this.
Yeah.
Then you have to kind of. You have to kind of fold back the back. The thing slides down. It only supports, actually two angles, but one usable angle. And it's like this ridiculous thing that it's not connected to anything.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. So with the folio, you can't detach it. It doesn't become a tablet. It's just a convertible. Mm-hmm. That thing never detaches. And the hinge is so simple. It's not like this Surface Book metal, what do they call it, memory wire kind of, craziness inside that's going to, go south in 2 years. It's just the simplest thing in the world. It just detaches from there. It moves forward. It lays down. It comes back.
You know what I find really interesting? This is a mode where you're hiding the keyboard, but you still have the touchpad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's really useful if you're watching a movie.
Yep. I've never seen anything do that before.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe one ever has. In fact, there was a weird, there was one that had the trackpad was behind the keyboard, right? Because someone was trying to make
that's
a weird,
not good.
Remember that thing?
Yeah. No, so I do remember that.
Like they've solved some problems with this. So
how's the keyboard on it? Is it nice?
It's great. 1.3 millimeter travel. It's solid.
It's kind of like the Spectre that you and I have, Mary Jo.
Yeah, I would say so.
It looks like.
I only had it on my lap for a moment, but I would say it's lappable.
But it was lappable.
Well, if you like the feel of fine leather, you're going to enjoy
this. The leather makes it
a
little heavy.
Oh,
it's dense.
Oh,
yeah,
that's interesting. How much does it weigh?
I know. What does it weigh? Over 3 pounds, right?
Oh, no, it can't be over 3 cars.
Is this, let me ask you, though, is this a weird picture? Because it looks extraordinarily wide. That's just a...
Yeah, I think it might just be the angle. So that's it. That's the device in tablet mode. It is a 16:9 screen. This is unfortunately the one of the things we're saddled with.
It's not a 3.2. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of like the looks, though. I'm tempted.
It looks really classy. And there's going to be a burgundy model, right?
Yep. There's two different colors. The leather and the... I'm not sure if the top of that top part is, it must be aluminum. I think the interior is manganese. Anyway, I forget which is which, but the metal and the leather colors are different on each model. So there's like a burgundy and whatever color, and then a, whatever this normal brown color is, and whatever color. I don't remember the colors. I'm sorry.
Old baseball mitt.
Yeah.
You could probably get some baseball oil and.
Oh yeah. Rub this up.
Watch the game and rub it in.
Rub it up.
Yep. the other thing is it's serviceable, not end user serviceable. It's not like you'd pop a screwdriver in there and pop it up, but HP can actually take this thing apart and it's not sealed like a lot of computers are today.
Oh, really?
And it's not like it's glue and, you know, whatever. Like, you know, something happens to the Alcantara on your Surface laptop, you're kind of pretty much going to have to replace it.
Yeah. Well, this guy, I don't understand why companies still make large bezels.
Yeah,
Apple does too. I just don't. I thought that we had solved that, but maybe not.
Well, it
weighs 3.2 pounds.
Oh, it is. That's pretty heavy for something that size.
So what? But the thing is, it has a humongous battery in it, and it gets 18.5 hours of battery. Supposedly,
finally,
they say. Let's try it out.
Significant battery life, both for Microsoft and HP. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Okay. Pretty nice. Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
When is it available?
I believe at the end of the month.
And $12.99. Starts at $12.99. I see there's an i7 in it, but that's kind of the slower i7, or
like the M7 or whatever. You know, they don't really call it that anymore. Right. But it's the Y series.
Yeah.
Pretty Which, sweet. By the way, is fine. You know, that this thing I just showed you is a Y series, but what this is really held back by is the RAM. This thing only has 4 gigs of RAM.
The HP Envy.
It's completely unacceptable for a modern Windows PC.
Can you max this one at 8 or?
I'm not sure. But it's probably only 8, but I'm not actually 100% sure.
So, this is the HP Folio available end of the month, just in time for Halloween.
I want to try it. I want to give it a test drive.
I
should note at this point in time. That I'm going to turn on all my phones because it is 11:18.
Right.
And it is possible that sometime in the next half hour, we will get
like a little Cheeto
a
will
word
appear on my phone.
From the Cheeto in chief. I'm sorry. What did I call him? Cheeto. And that's disrespectful.
You're right. No, come on, Leo. It's Commander in Cheeto. Let's get it right.
and it's not from the president, even though it's called a presidential alert. It's from FEMA. And it is the first test of the presidential alert system. You cannot disable it on your phone. So I'm leaving all my sounds on because I want you to hear. It won't. See, this actually is an interesting question because I know in radio because I take this test all the time. I'm not allowed to in any way rebroadcast the EANS alert tones. Just got it.
Uh-oh.
Just got it. This is a test of the... You got it, too. We're hearing it everywhere. Of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System.
Yeah,
oh, Lord. All my phones are going off. Oh, no. Help me. Help me. Oh, my God. Jeez. Jeez. It's good.
So
I had a bunch
of phones.
The
one thing you got to hope, though, is... He actually can't ever send out an alert.
I'm not clear on that. FEMA said that this is not that he can't, but I'm not clear on that.
I'm just worried because of how he tweets and how often.
If the president can set off a nuclear war, I don't know why they wouldn't let him set off a presidential alert.
Sure.
All right. Well, there it is. There's the alert. I hope you all enjoyed it. This was only a test. No action is needed. That is not cause for alarm.
Also, vote Republican.
And, yes. And don't forget, Election Day is only 6 weeks away. Mm-hmm. The nation needs your vote. Wow, that worked.
It worked, yep.
Did your, you went off your,
one of
yours?
My phones, though.
Did all yours go off?
Yep.
Oh, the only one that didn't go off of mine. Shh, now they know I'm playing Pokemon Go. Stop it. Now, the only one that didn't go off of mine is my main phone, my iPhone. That's weird.
Thought you were going to say your Windows phone.
Yeah, my Windows. Actually, let me check.
It was going to, but it was 2018.
Yeah. Let me check. No,
I just got it again. Okay. Now I'm getting it multiple times. Is that right?
You're not supposed to get it again.
I just got it a second time.
Yeah, no. I mean, maybe because you didn't. I don't know.
I shut it off.
Now,
come
what
on,
happens
guys.
If I tap that?
I have a phone that's in airplane mode that did not get this alert, and I'm hoping to never get it on
No, that's right. If your phone isn't on the network, it won't get the alert. If your network doesn't support it, and there are precious few in the U.S. that didn't support it, you won't get the alert.
What are those networks?
Yeah, really. Where can I go? I want to know. The problem is, it's hard to imagine what that would be used for.
Right.
How long it takes to get it to do it, the atomic war would be over.
I mean, do you think it's just going to say, like, heads up?
Yeah, heads up. Here it comes. Big one's coming. There's already a severe weather alert on all of our phones.
Yep.
So it's hard to imagine what exactly this would be used for.
Yeah.
Of course, you can disable the severe weather alert. You can disable the amber alerts. You can't disable the presidential alert. There is no way to disable that. So, let's take a break, and then I love it that we led with HP, Microsoft. Chris Capozzella is grinding his teeth right now, but we will actually. Chris, don't worry. Panos Panay will make a special guest appearance along with Brad Sams.
There he is. Woo!
Yikes!
Nice cans.
He might be wearing shorts. I don't know. It looks like
he is.
He's wearing those new headphones.
Yep.
But the Type C headphones. Our show today brought to you by WordPress. So is my blog. So are so many sites these days, including some of the biggest tech sites in the world. Quartz is on WordPress. WordPress is an amazing platform. 31% of all the websites in the world. I know when I say this, I even see the skepticism in your eyes. I see it. But it's true. It's an unimaginable fact, but it's true. When if you're in a business and you don't have your own website, a place you can call your own, not owned by somebody named Zuckerberg or, Twitter, but a place you can call your own, you need to have a website. But I know why you may not or be reluctant to, because it sounds like a lot of work. It sounds like a lot of technical mumbo jumbo. Do I have to know HTML, what's going to be involved here? WordPress makes it easy. They take care of the hosting. They do the hosting at WordPress.com. They take care of the security. They keep it up to date. You don't have to even think about that. They take care of all the software updates. And they have incredible designs with state-of-the-art engineering and design looks that you can choose from. They're plug and play. All you have to do is create content. And that you can do because the content is the stuff you already do, whatever it is. If you're a plumber, if you're a website designer, believe it or not, most website designers really don't want to design their own website. It's too much work. And maybe WordPress.com is the right place to go for a great looking site that reflects your style. We have many sites, paid a lot of money for the Twit sites, but my personal site, no, it's at WordPress.com, LeoLaporte.com. In fact, I finally decided to kill all the other social media and just put all my good stuff on my blog. That's where it should be. And if you're a business, that's where it should be. You can link to it from Facebook and Twitter. Even better, WordPress has social linking, which means visitors to your site can link to your site on their network, share it with their friends. That's good for business. It's good for traffic. Whether it's a personal weblog, whether it's a business site, whether you want to sell, they do e-commerce too. Some really nice stuff in e-commerce. You want to go to WordPress.com. One of the things I like about WordPress, you can upload video and images to WordPress, so you even control that content. You don't have to put a link to somebody else's site or, Facebook or YouTube. You can put it right there on WordPress. Plus import and, here is important, export content to and from your WordPress website. It's your stuff. You get to keep it. Your site, your home, your content. Grow your audience. Reach new customers. Built-in search engine optimization, social media features, marketing tools. And I use the WordPress app. When I was traveling, I posted postcards from my travels. And it was really easy to do it with the WordPress app. It was fantastic. Even things like changing the post date to match the postcard date so that it would all be in order. It's just fantastic. Plans start as little as $4 a month, and no matter what plan you'll have, you get the great 24/7 support team with answers to any question when you need it. Now do you understand why 31% of all websites run on WordPress? Get 15% off your new plan purchase, wordpress.com/windows, to create your new website. wordpress.com/windows. wordpress.com/windows. We thank WordPress for making Windows Weekly possible. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and there was a little clam bake in the West Village yesterday.
There was.
Everybody who was anybody, including Bradley Cooper and his baby, were there.
Sure.
It sounds like a
bunch
joke.
Of nobodies were there too, by the way. But
I brought a baby to a Surface event.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all lead weird lives, I guess, in some way.
So, you know, the only thing I know, because I followed your tweets, was I saw that picture, and then I saw that Panos Panay came up to Paul and took your Surface. What was that all about?
I don't know. He likes to work the crowd.
Did he give it back?
It's a little different at a tech event than it is at, like, a comedy club or whatever, but in this case, he kind of just pinched my laptop shut, and he walked away with it.
And then
he talked about, you know, so
was there a reason back from to do this?
Yeah, he usually does something like this, right? Okay. So his whole point, and I think this ties into my S mode joke from, or S, not S mode, S year joke from earlier, is they really didn't have anything new from a hardware perspective that was major. I mean, there were headphones, obviously, but, so they've updated the internals. They've kind of gone forward with the computers they had from last time around. And I think what he was trying to push was this notion that that's what Surface is all about. The machine gets out of the way. You don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. We're not talking about speeds and feeds and blah, blah, blah. We're talking about the kind of touchy-feely emotional side of this, where it's about the thing you're doing on the device. We don't worry about that other stuff. And which is a cute way of saying we don't have anything new to show you because, so the
they didn't even stream this event, right?
Why not?
It wasn't live stream. I think because it was a minor event.
I completely disagree with this decision. I think they should have streamed it. We have both heard from hundreds of people who wanted to watch this thing.
We would have had live coverage.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting too. And there was some neat Windows 10 stuff in there, some neat Office stuff. Mm-hmm. I think they have a good story to tell.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not going to...
The other reason I heard from a couple of people, they decided not to do it. So they did a lot of things really differently with this announcement. For one thing, it started at 4 p.m. Eastern, even though New York. That was weird, right? And they also didn't stream it. It was kind of a low-key event. Like there was 1 hour of kind of a basic keynote with Panos and Yusuf Mehdi and a couple demos, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And then we all got to go into this room where we could check out the new devices. So it wasn't really something that would have lended itself really well to streaming. I mean, you could have streamed the original keynote, I guess, but I think they were also trying to differentiate their approach from, like, say, how Apple does an announcement or how Google does an announcement, in that it wasn't some big bang, like, look at this beautiful hardware. It wasn't like that, right?
But it was like that. See, that's the thing. Like,
I don't feel like it was.
It was, well, first of all, it was in a small venue. Like the Apple event is held at, you know, there's 1,000 people or 2,000, whatever it is. It's a splashy multimedia kind of thing. But what Apple announced for new iPhones was no better or worse than what Microsoft announced for new Surface PCs, if you want to compare them to the previous generation. I feel that the level of, you know, news or whatever you want to call this was absolutely on the same level. I agree. I mean, I understand that they probably felt like they're not going to get the same kind of glowing, overly positive press coverage that Apple always gets. I think they could have handled it the same way, honestly. I think it would have been, I think it warranted it, you know. It reminds me of the, you know, Surface Pro, the 2017 version. They didn't call it 5 because, like, we don't feel like we added enough to call it five. Well, you felt like you added enough to call this one six. Last year I made the argument that this was five. There's absolutely enough to warrant it.
You probably caught that, but like last year when they announced the Surface Pro, the newest one, it was supposed to be the five, and instead they just called it Surface Pro with no number.
But this it turns out.
It was.
Yeah, it turns out we're going back to having numbers.
It always
now.
Was
five. Well, did you see that we're now going to call Wi-Fi instead of 802.11n and 802.11ac, we're going to call 802.11.4 and Wi-Fi 5? Yeah.
What?
No, I did not see this.
Yeah, because it confuses people.
Okay.
So, and I wish Apple would realize this.
Simple version numbers.
Just do numbers.
Yeah. Numbers are so good.
10S Max. What is that?
No.
The big thing, though, I think we'll go through all this stuff. We're fixated on hardware, and I don't just mean the three of us or whatever. I mean our little community and the broader community of personal technology fans or whatever is really fixated on hardware. So we're going to beat this to death. But there was some very interesting software stuff going on too that we will absolutely get to. But like a lot of other company stuff. All this stuff started leaking in the days and weeks before this event. And there were some rumors we had heard that didn't make any sense, right? That Microsoft
we didn't even believe them. We were talking among ourselves, and I'm like, do you think it's going to be called the Surface Pro 6? And Paul's like, no. I'm like, no, it's definitely not.
Well, that one I didn't care about too much. But, I mean, the USB-C thing didn't make any sense. They've done it on Pro, on Book, which is the highest-end one they have. They've done it on... Surface Go, which is the lowest end. I mean, obviously, they're going to fill in the product line. And here's the logic to it, by the way. This isn't about necessarily or just about being forward-leaning or being modern or that literally the rest of the industry has done it. And blah. It's not about that stuff. I actually don't want them to replace the USB-C 3 port on those devices with a USB-C port. But what is on those devices is a mini display port.
Right.
You need to replace that with it. That's what they did on the Surface Book 2. It's the right decision. Mm-hmm. For the most part, you're still going to use a dongle. You know, yeah, you can go buy a cable that ends in mini display port and goes to whatever it goes to, HDMI. You're still buying a special thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing you're going to these days is HDMI. For the most part. I know there are exceptions. Relax, pedantics. But you're basically using a dongle anyway. You might as well use a port that, by the way, can also power the device, that can also be used as data, that can, with a dongle, work with any USB accessory. Those are three things that mini display port cannot do. It makes no sense not to have done that.
Okay. I want to throw something in. So I, going into this event, had heard from a couple people who said they saw the Surface Pro 6 and the Surface Laptop 2. And they said they had USB-C.
Right.
So what I think happened is they have done this. Like, there are models that have these already.
Yep.
And instead of coming out with them now, they were like, you know what? We're going to have to change a lot of innards of the device and the chassis maybe if we switch now to USB-C on these. So let's do it in the next generation.
So, by the way, add to that the rumors about a version of Surface Pro where the corners were curved more like the Surface Go.
Mm-hmm.
Probably also true. Why wouldn't you want this device to look even more like the newest member of the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to what I said again. I'm going to keep beating this one to death. The notion of this being an S year. I think ultimately what they did was they looked at this and said, look, the big thing here is the internals. We're going to 8th gen finally. Quad core processing. The performance is going to be way up. Let's just make that the thing. There are people that haven't bought these devices because they're still the only machines in the market with dual core processors in this price range. Everyone else has gone quad core. Let's satisfy that demand and then do that bigger thing that you were just talking about.
Yeah.
I really think that is what happened. That
me too.
There were plans for this bigger step. And it's like, you know what? That isn't really what's important right now. And on that note, for all of the complaints I just made about USB-C, I'm actually okay with it because the thing is, I brought a Surface laptop to the device. It has one USB port on it.
Mm-hmm.
I never plugged anything into it. You know, for all of the complaining, like it's easy, I think, as a tech enthusiast, like I am, and I think a lot of people listening to this are, I don't really need this stuff all that much, you know?
Right.
So I could kind of lay out the logic of why what they did is wrong. But the reality is there is something special about these devices. It's true of Surface Pro. It's true of Surface Laptop. It's true of Surface Book, too, although the design is still goofy and kind of bland to me. But as far as the performance and the functionality, it's you know, it's right there, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was half an hour of what he was talking about. It was. Kind of, you know, waving his hands like, don't worry about the specs. It's this other thing that's kind of special about these devices. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I think he makes a good point.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard if you're the press sitting in this audience and you're like, okay, is there an eighth generation Intel in here? And he never says it. And you're just like, is there?
He never said it. He literally never addressed. He gave some basic performance. You know, it was X percent, you know, better performance
over the
last year,
one.
Whatever. Right. But he never. Yeah, you're right. He never talks specs.
Right. One thing, of course, that they were highlighting was the black editions of the Surface Pro 6 and the Surface Laptop. Like, that was a big part of his pitch, and they looked great.
They're beautiful.
But yeah, he was definitely focusing more on, you know, the creativity theme, the aesthetics of the device, and everybody in that audience was like, okay, give me the price, give me the specs, give me how many versions of this are there.
But we're so hardwired.
We are hardwired that way to
debate it. To complain when they don't deliver that exact thing that I need for some reason, even though I never use it, or whatever it is. And speaking of which, you know, there's a bunch of stuff kind of tied to this. You know, you have an article, I think, that's about how there are consumer and business versions of these devices, which is very interesting. This isn't actually, I mean, they've technically always had that kind of thing, right? Or have had that for a long time. But there's actually a big difference this year that makes this unique, because for the first time, the consumer versions of those two products are shipping with Windows 10 Home, which, by the way, is another thing that sets off an automatic knee-jerk response, as it did, by the way, for me, too. I'm not pointing fingers at people, and this is me, too. Rich Woods and I were like, you know, complaining about this. Like, you know, there's no way this rumor is true.
I know.
Surface Pro literally has the name Pro in it. You know, in his name, has the word Pro in his name. But then you kind of step back and think about it. And you can't actually upgrade to Pro on the website today, although I think that's coming. You can't actually buy the business versions of these devices today because they're for pre-order, and that will happen eventually. They will come with Pro.
You have to go to see them. You have to go to the Surface business site, right? Like, that's where they're all laid out, and you can pick your models and pre-order them. But yeah, the difference is like $150, right, or so.
Is that what it is? Okay, I think so.
So Surface Pro 6 for consumers with Windows 10 Home is $899. For businesses, it's $999. So $100 difference for that.
All right. So, by the way, let's talk about what that means, though, because if you, first of all, for a consumer, for a normal person, the price of this device just went down by $100.
Yep.
Point blank. 90-something percent of the people who buy that will never have to worry about upgrading it. If you wanted to upgrade it, it would cost $100, right? That's you do it through the store. That's the price.
Yep.
But you actually get more from the business site than just the Pro upgrade, right? Isn't there a...
There is. There's a new warranty that... Well, it's not a brand new warranty, but it's a thing called Advanced Exchange that exists, I think, for Xbox and some other Windows devices. It's considered like an advanced warranty. So if something happens to your device, they'll give you expedited device replacement for no additional cost. So that comes with it if you buy the business version. It automatically just comes as part of it.
This is kind of an interesting peace of mind thing, right?
I
Consumer Reports just confirmed. We don't have this in the notes, and I don't think this came up last week, but they just their newest reader survey. Surface devices have gotten overwhelmingly positive remarks from their readers. Those devices, except for Surface Go, are now recommended again. I think the difference between the no recommendation and the recommendation was the new generation of devices. You and I kind of anecdotally have heard from people, and now I think it's semi-official, that this that last generation was way more reliable than the one that preceded it, Surface Pro 4, the original Surface Book. But if you're still worried about it, you know, you can take advantage of this new, or not new, but this business warranty.
Great. So for the Surface laptop, if you buy the one with Windows 10 Home, the consumer version, it's $9.99. And if you get the business version with Pro, it's $11.99.
That's actually $200 more.
It is. Yep.
So why would that be?
I'm not sure.
It's possible that the base Windows version is a higher level SKU. I haven't looked at this yet, so I don't actually have.
I forget if it's laptop or if it's Pro, but one of those two things, if you look on the spec sheet, they have different Intel processors, but it's like a one-digit difference in the number, and they're both considered either i5 or i7. So I'm like, okay, what's different about those?
I think what you're seeing is that the base Surface Pro, this should be true of the laptop, it used to be, but maybe just Surface Pro, is that Y-series processor, right? And so the way they made it cheaper over time, because that wasn't an original configuration, they added it over time, and it was a way to make the device less expensive. But I believe it also came with only 4 gigs of RAM by default. And I think the big difference this time around is that I believe, I'm not looking at the site right now, but my understanding is that device actually comes with 8 gigabytes of RAM. So it's probably a reasonably good experience, you know, unlike, say, a Core M, whatever it is, with 4 gigs of RAM.
Oh, I got to give you a statement I just got, too. This is really interesting. So the one thing that was not mentioned at all in yesterday's announcement was Windows 10 in S mode or Windows 10 S. And if you remember, when the Surface laptop was introduced last year, it came with 10S.
That's right.
That was just like what it came with, and you could upgrade to the full Pro version, but every one of them came with 10S. So I asked today, okay, so if you bought either the new Surface laptop or the new Surface Pro, you can put them in S mode, right? Like they're going to be available in S mode if somebody did want that. Mm-hmm. Here's the answer. No. We accomplished our goal of introducing Windows 10 in S mode to a broad audience with the initial launch of Surface Laptop, and we will continue to fulfill this market need with Surface Go. Surface Laptop 2 and Surface Pro 6 run the most optimized operating system for the people who use it most.
I'm going to just take that as a victory for Paul, if you don't mind, because I have literally been on an 18-month crusade to explain to people that S mode is a complete waste of time.
Except they're still shipping Go with S mode.
Yeah, but Go is a complete waste of time. So that makes sense. Like this is, you know, and you can get out of it, right? I mean, I honestly didn't expect you to say this. I thought they were, you know, but this is fascinating. I think what you just said is Terry's gone. That's what you just said. I'm not kidding.
I was surprised. I was so surprised by the answer.
Right? That's completely different language.
I know. I thought they were going to say, okay, and if you do want S mode, obviously you can put this thing in S mode, right? But no, that's not what they said.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Good. That's the right thing to do. Brad had uncovered some documentation from Microsoft. I think it was back in, I don't know if it was May or whenever it was, earlier in the year. And it had to do with Microsoft's strategy for Windows in the year ahead. And how, you know, this has obviously kind of gone up and down over the years, but obviously, they've added SKUs and SKUs and SKUs over time. And sometimes the number of SKUs goes down and sometimes it kind of goes back up again. And what they've kind of found is that these mode things like S mode, you know, there's some sense to this. Like you can just say, look, it's Windows 10 Home, it's Windows 10 Pro. But, you know, there's a workstation mode, essentially. There's an advanced mode, supposedly, for Home that, you know, no one's ever actually seen in real life that supports like those 9-core processors and all that stuff. I think that's kind of, even though it sounds like, you know, a subtle distinction, I think doing it that way makes more sense. And if you had said, like, look, you can get this thing in S mode, and then obviously that upgrade is free if you want the full thing, that would have been fine. Like, it's still less of a hardline stance than Windows 10 S was when it was originally announced and when it originally came out. Mm-hmm. And that they're getting rid of it is hilarious, basically.
Yeah.
So on a real computer, you get the real version of Windows. And by the way, you got to think this ties a little bit to the Office news from Ignite about how we're not doing Office Mobile anymore, not really, on Windows, right? Now that Office is in the store in full Office mode, we're going forward with this. This is Office. These things are related. You know, the store app thing not taking off, UWP, and Windows 10S or S mode not taking off, I think are kind of commingled. And I think what we're seeing here between these two announcements is them recalibrating post-Terry.
That's not a bad assessment of what's going on. I mean, a lot of things have changed since Terry Myerson left. And I think it takes a while for all that to trickle through the system. You know, he left in what, March? At least announced he was leaving in March, left a couple months later. But, you know, it takes time for things to change and for them to also get all the telemetry and feedback. I'm sure when when Surface Laptop shipped last year, they know how many people kept it in S mode. I would love to know that number.
Oh, it's
I have no idea what it is.
It's a very low number.
I would guess. And I would guess it's
without
low.
That statement that you had just provided, what I would have said about S mode in this event is the very fact that they never even uttered the phrase S mode.
No, they never
is
did.
All you need to know about it, right?
Yeah.
They don't have a customer they can point to. There is no educational institution or corporation somewhere that has come out and said, yeah, this exactly meets my needs, because it meets no one's needs. It just doesn't. I've been saying this for like anybody. I don't get to be anybody. Right a lot. Could we celebrate this? Is there confetti that could fall down from the sky? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. What else didn't we talk about? So we didn't really talk a lot about Surface Studio yet.
Yeah.
That's the device I should mention that I use in the big studio all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And the old one.
Yeah.
I love it.
Sure.
But it was $3,000 when I bought it. This one's $3,500.
It is.
Yeah.
And what else about it? It features a seventh generation Intel processor. The Pro, the new Pro and the new laptop both have the eighth generation.
Which, by the way, people are freaking out about. But, Leo, they you are. May know this off the top of your head. I believe the original Surface Studio was sixth generation.
God, and I don't think that's, it seems like it's almost 2 years ago.
Yeah,
do you remember what the type of processor was? You know, it wasn't a U series. It was possibly an HQ series or,
you know.
It's not a desktop chip.
No, purely anecdotally, that machine was kind of sluggish.
Right.
You know, it became clear that you were paying the money for the screen and not the hardware, really. So they say i5 or i7, but I'm looking to see if they say anything about they. You know, this is just they say nothing. They didn't even say what generation. They don't say anything.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we got the i5 because that was $3,000. Okay. They had a hybrid drive that was so awful that we immediately replaced it with two drives and SSD.
Mm. Well, we have good news for you there. By the way, they are not selling that anymore.
Good, because that was terrible.
It's all SSD.
Yeah. Mm. And this had a dedicated NVIDIA graphics card. I guess it needed it for that display.
It was probably pretty low end. I don't remember what they put in the new one, but it's improved. You know, it's probably not too difficult to be
The display wasn't slow. I'm actually completely happy with the performance once I put the faster hard drive in there. It made a huge difference. It was a sixth generation Intel Core i5.
Yeah, so it's a newer generation. I suspect that Surface Studio is another thing that we can expect. You know, next year, I would imagine. Well, actually, it's Surface, so 18 months from now, whatever. We're probably going to have a major Microsoft hardware event at a big venue that will be like an Apple event, and lots of people will show up. And the reason will be form factor changes and possibly architecture changes, right, around a faster form of Surface Connect or however they... Mm-hmm. make that monstrosity happen. But
So we I don't know if anything has changed given what they announced yesterday, but this past May I heard that there was going to be a major I wouldn't say architectural change, but more of a revamp in the look and feel of the Surface Pro, and it was coming in 2019. It was described as a major change in the product. So now that this has happened, I don't know if that plan is still on or not.
I bet it is. I mean,
that's the thing. Codename Carmel. Suspect. Remember, Brad had that codename Carmel. That's what that thing, whatever that is.
They have
maybe
to be
next
looking
year.
A couple of gens out. I mean, they do this with Windows versions.
Yeah.
They make Office. Yep. I'm sure they must be.
So yeah, Surfer Studio, that's interesting. Not in black, if people were wondering, because the Microsoft photo of this made it look black because of the way the picture was angled and the bezels, but that does not come in
bezel,
black.
I think the bezel is black on the front.
It is.
But the whole machine is gray.
Well, yeah, it was always
and then
gray.
Silver, obviously.
Yeah, it looks like exactly the same.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
I believe it is. Well, so there's one little difference. I don't have a Surface Studio, but I believe that your video out on the back has Mini Display Port, which is that kind of almost square, little rectangular port.
I think you might be right, yeah.
On the new one, it's USB-C.
Okay.
I believe that is the only physical difference.
They skipped HDMI entirely.
Well, yeah. I mean,
That's fine.
Whatever the port is, you can dongle your way to something.
You know? We dongle it.
Yeah. But I think the important thing about USB-C is the other stuff. You know, not that powering the device is possible with Surface Studio, but on the laptops, you know, you get that kind of versatility, and it's just nice to have that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. He says, having never used any of it, but anyway. Well, no, but I think it's
nice for us because we do feed a video at it.
Yeah.
I rushed out of that event, and I was trying to think. You know, am I outraged about this? Right. I have been, like, complaining about USB-C for over 3 years now. I wrote an article 2 years ago when Pro 4 and Surface Book came out that said it was inexcusable that those devices, one of which is now two generations old, did not ship with USB-C, right? I've been complaining about this for so long. Thunderbolt 3 wasn't even a thing when I started complaining about this. And so I had to rush out of there to get home, and I had my version of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is like ferries, buses, and automobiles. But anyway, a convoluted series of steps to get home. And I was kind of obsessed by it. I ended up writing about it on the bus ride home, which is a surefire way to get sick to your stomach.
Kidding.
The only thing worse is playing Doom, which
the first 30 minutes of the bus ride is like this crazy circus, family circus route through New Jersey. But I had to just kind of plow through it. And ultimately what I came to is the mess that I tried to describe earlier in the show, which is just that it is inexcusable. I suspect the people are going to buy this device don't care.
Yeah. So let's talk about what they say when we say to them, why is there no USB-C?
What do they say?
Okay. For one, they get kind of defensive. I had this conversation with like three different people yesterday. And then they're like, do you even care? Like, do you need USB-C on it? And I'm like, I don't care. My readers care a lot about it because they ask about it all the time. They say, well, for one, our customers don't want it. And asked them and they said they don't.
Why would you say, I don't want that?
I know. I'm like, well, your customers must be different from my readers because my readers say they do want
it. But that's an interesting point because maybe they are different, right?
They could be different.
Who would say, I don't want a connector? I mean,
well, because there's already a connector. In other words, what's the difference? Like, I think it's more likely that they had a survey and they said, which of these five features are the most important?
Okay, that's probably.
Yeah, that could be true.
I don't know how they did it. But
legacy, right? Like some people, they want it to stay the same. They want the ports to all stay the same because they've got cases or holders or whatever, and this is designed for that, and they buy tens of thousands of them. Okay. So that's one. Then they also say, Microsoft also says, we will support this when it's completely standardized and everyone agrees on a common standard. Okay, but you're already supporting it on the Go, on the Surface Book 2, and now on the headset that you introduced and the Surface Studio.
Yeah, they're a little.
So that seems like an inconsistent answer, right?
The one I got was kind of just a take on one of those things, which was just that there's some controversy in the industry about whether this is really ready and blah blah blah. And you could Google right now MacBook USB-C disaster or whatever, and you know even Apple, which has gone really all in on USB-C at least on their computers. Has met a lot of resistance from their pro customers because of the need for these special adapters. Although, I get the need to. You're not replacing like your iTunes library, $1,000 or whatever. You're replacing a dongle, which is like $19. Like you're still plugging. Not having a port in the computer is one thing, like for an SD card. But if you're plugging it into some kind of a drive and using a USB port, I mean, it's plugging in some way. I just don't.
Do you want me to tell you like the real reason they don't want to put it in?
Yeah.
Because I know.
Okay.
USB-C is a mess in terms of capabilities and form factor. It's one form factor. We all recognize that little tiny oval slot. But you can't look at a USB slot and know what its capabilities are.
True.
Yeah.
USB-C can do everything from Thunderbolt 3 to video to power.
But it doesn't always.
But it doesn't always. In addition, USB-C cables aren't capable necessarily of all of the above. So what they are, I am guarantee you, is afraid of is customer support calls saying, well, it has USB-C. How come I can't get video off of it? Or why can't I charge? Or why isn't it working with this cable? Or how come it fried my... The other problem, although less of a problem, is bad USB-C cables, which when connected to a phone to charge it, which is one great use for USB-C, can fry the computer. Now, remember, that was why HP didn't want to use non-standard stuff on there.
That problem's been solved.
I think that's been solved. There are, you know, I mean, thanks to Benson Leong, the guy at Google who went on Amazon and said, don't buy this crap.
Well, no, I mean, Lenovo builds anti-fry technology.
There's got to be a way,
Well, it's, I really feel like it's been solved. But those companies, of course, ship devices at volume. Microsoft does not. It would probably be more disastrous for Microsoft because they just don't have the resources of a Lenovo or an HP or whatever. And it would, you know, the customer service calls are probably a lot more expensive for a company like that.
And and what do what capabilities do you put in that thing? Is it all, I mean, they on the Surface Go, it does charging, right?
Well, by the way, it should be the it should be
it's USB 3.1, not Thunderbolt 3.
So, yes, on the the Surface Go, it's not it's not replacing a video out port, which it would be on the other devices. Right. It's literally the USB port. That's a little problematic, frankly.
No, people still want a Type A USB port. I know they do.
Yeah.
So my argument, though, is that on Surface Pro and Surface Laptop, they should do what they did on Surface Book 2, which is you replace the mini display port, and then you get those other advantages. So it's video out, and you can use dongles if you have to or a special cable. But you can also use data. So if you have a USB-C based external hard drive, or you have a dongle for you know for a normal hard drive, that will work over that port. Now you have three USB ports. It's useful. If you have a big brick of a power supply you carry to computers for some reason, or your phone power supply, you could charge that device slowly with that thing, or you could find one you know USB-C that would work with everything and have the one cable. It's this is. There's kind of like no, there's no downside to it. You know, it's just, it's goofy.
Yeah.
On the Surface
Connect,
Go.
The Microsoft Connect port, though, is still there and I think is going to stay there for the foreseeable future, right?
That's
Right. I'm just hoping that, look, I'm okay with it if they upgrade the capabilities to match or exceed Thunderbolt 3, right? And then you can get a dock that could do two 4K displays at 60 hertz and you could have an actual professional machine. You know, the dock as it stands now is limited by the bandwidth of that port, which is not very good. So you're kind of constrained. If you just want to use one external monitor, which probably most people do, it's fine. But you have a device like a Surface Book 2 that can cost upwards of $3,000. You might have an expectation about that, you know, that's not being met.
So to me, it makes sense that you put it on the studio because people who are using the studio are going to be connecting fast hard drives. They're going to be doing – there's lots of things they're going to do, and I presume it will do Thunderbolt 3 and video and all that stuff. Right? Will it?
I don't think it?
See the problem? You see the problem here? So that I would do that on a pro machine for sure, but maybe they didn't.
I agree with you 100%. I mean,
and I could see on a laptop where space is a constraint, unless you're like Apple and willing to say, you know, the heck with it, we're moving forward. You guys catch up. If we'll see you, we'll see you on the other side. But they're not like Apple. That's exactly the anti-Apple.
By the way,
in that regard,
that might be the point. You know, if you think about it, the Surface laptop lines up nicely with the MacBook Air, which actually does not have USB-C ports, although it's about to be replaced with a device that probably does. This may be Microsoft taking a step back, you know, like Mary Jo was saying, you know, we're going to look do the big thing next year, but specifically to go after that crowd of Apple users who are a little disgruntled about the lack of these ports.
That's what we thought the Surface Studio was going to be.
Well, I mean, for the portable part of the market, Surface Pro and Surface Laptop, you've got, and then of course the big powerful Surface Book 2 if you want that. Mm-hmm. You've now got this range of devices, each of which has at least one legacy port, you know, and they are beautiful.
Yep.
I've run out of ways to apologize to Microsoft today, but I guess
it's a little disappointing, maybe they don't really care how many they sell. Maybe it really isn't.
I think they care, but.
How much do they care? They care a lot? Or is it more to demo what they can
it's
do?
Not, it's you know not what? Like, it's not as important to them as like, say, Office or Windows or Azure, right? It's their hardware business, though, is $4 billion a year plus now.
It's not insignificant. Is that revenue?
I suspect that if we were able to get Panos Panay in a room years later when he's gone from Microsoft and say, come on, you wanted to do this in 2015, didn't you? Or 2016 or whatever. He would, yes, obviously. Yeah. But, I just wrote something about Apple with regards to like how they supposedly invent the future and then people don't even know they want that stuff. But, you know, Apple actually is a really feedback driven company, as it turns out. They always improve their products after the first version comes out to match what people actually want. Microsoft does the same thing. They tend to do some more user research up front. Other PC makers do as well. Of course, HP, Lenovo, Dell all do this. There's no... we can complain all we want as enthusiasts. Like, I want this port for some reason that I can't quite explain why I will never need it, really, but I just want it because you never know. And Microsoft can point to this data that they have where it seems like that's what they've said, where we know that the people who are buying these things don't care.
Right. Well, I'm sure enthusiasts care, but I'm sure enterprise doesn't care. I'm sure that's what Microsoft's saying, is it?
Yeah. I think that's true.
Lack of ports
on
a device is probably wonderful for the
enterprise. Yeah, enterprise doesn't want it.
Yeah, right.
It just complicates the life.
Yeah.
It's harder to get the super glue in.
Yep.
That's right. Yep. Right. Got to cut the tip off of that thing a little closer to the end.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. I think we've dealt with the USB-C issue.
Yeah, I think
we've dealt
with
it.
And I think you're totally right, Leo, about why. I think that is a much better, if they just said that, like, you know, guys, this is what could go wrong. I think we would be like, yeah, you're right.
I have to say, as somebody who uses USB-C all the time, it's confusing. I'm constantly explaining to people. It could be USB 3.1. It could be Thunderbolt 3. Might have power.
Oh, I agree. And remember when they went, I think it was USB 2 to 3, they started coloring the ports.
Right.
Unless you were on a Mac. Mm-hmm. So you could kind of tell, like, blue was, I think, the slow one, and yellow was the fast one. And so, and sometimes you'd see even, like, a red one, because that meant it could do charging when the device was off and blah, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of make fun of that kind of thing. But honestly, I think that would make tons of sense. I mean, first of all, I think every USB-C port should do this exact same thing. But if we're not going to have that, I think putting a little color ring in there would make a big difference.
It's kind of a dark little... port. I don't know if you can see anything in there. It's
maybe you can flash different color lights.
That might be the issue.
Remember, HP came out with that Spectre I'm using. Like, there's three USB-C ports, right?
Two of them are one thing, and
right.
No, but they're not all the same.
That's the
they're not all the same.
Yeah, the one that's separate from the other two is only USB-C, and that's typically where you put the power cable. You can put it anywhere. The other two are Thunderbolt 3.
Right.
I think
they have additional capabilities.
Part of it must be that there isn't a solid chipset in an affordable system on a chip support for USB-C that does it all, so that you don't have to, you know, make it a universal port. Once that, you know, when Intel or whoever the hell's doing this stuff comes up with an inexpensive chip that can make all of your USB-C ports do everything possible, Thunderbolt 3. Charging and video, am I leaving anything out? Then everybody will do it. It must be something you have to cobble together.
What everyone is doing, it's really the thing is, everyone is doing it, you know,
everyone's doing it in a different way, right?
Yeah, you don't see it. I mean, you don't see it as much in low end devices, obviously. I mean, this is kind of high end or mid tier market stuff at this point. It enables, you know, aside from capabilities, it enables the device to be thinner.
Right.
You know, one of the things about Surface Go that I think is kind of interesting is they were telling me that, you know, the USB port is up on high on the device, relatively speaking. It's above the hinge because the hinge cuts into the thickness of the device. They can't actually move the USB-C port down there or the audio jack, if I'm not mistaken, because some of the width of the machine is taken up by the hinge there. They're kind of reaching the effective thinness that they can get to. Mm-hmm. In future devices, we're going to have little pull-out tabs like we used to see on Ethernet ports. Remember, as computers got smaller and they used to kind of have slightly adjustable ports because the thinness was just too much for the size of the physical port.
Here's a question from the chat room. Digital Man says, the Pro 6 Business Edition says ready for Microsoft 365, but the Consumer Edition does not. What does that mean?
So I think the Consumer Edition comes with a trial version of Office 365.
So it is ready for it.
Well, I think we're mixing commercial and consumer. I think the ready for Office 365 on business, they mean Pro Plus or one of the commercial SKUs.
Does it say Microsoft 365 or Office 365?
Microsoft 365.
Oh, there is no consumer Microsoft 365. That's
okay.
Why.
Right.
That's why.
Right. Okay. Yep.
It's not the only announcement. They also, oddly, announced headphones, which Brad Sams will now model for us. Yeah. How you doing?
You know, there's a much more attractive picture of me wearing those. And
we can make it happen.
I was wearing them, too, making
a funny
face.
Are they
face.
Comfortable? And why is Microsoft?
They're beautiful. I mean, I don't like the big can-type headphones. They make my ears sweat and, you know, whatever.
These are those over-the-ear headphones?
But they sound great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they, and the
noise canceling is amazing.
They're wireless.
Yep.
And you can dial
wireless.
It up and down.
So they're going after Bose and Beats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, why? Yeah, that's so the why, right? So everyone's like, wait, why is Microsoft doing headphones? They just got out of the music business, and now here they come with this consumer headphone thing. Yep. Okay, so the way they positioned it was actually as a productivity tool. If you listen to how they positioned it, because the whole pitch was, you know, if you're using the Surface Studio and you're in an office and you're creating, what does everyone do who creates like that? They all wear headphones while they're creating.
Yeah, they want to block out the office.
Right.
And they want to be in some kind of a zone.
Yep. And that's how they positioned it. It wasn't like we want to be Beats. That wasn't how they came at it.
No, but come on. You can't look at this and not see like Bose headphones. Like, I mean, they're so very clearly, you know.
Alex
that
says,
design.
Finally, the Surface phone is here.
A lot of people were doing that yesterday.
The tweet I had was, you finally got the word Surface and phone in an announcement. Are you happy?
How much?
$350
bucks.
But they do look nice. And you say they sound, and they have Cortana, so that's a big thing, right? So
that was terrible, a surprise. That was a surprise. Yeah. It really was.
Do you have to have Windows to use them?
Nope. They work with iOS and Android also.
Yeah, they're just Bluetooth.
Is there a microphone so I can use it for my calls?
There's four microphones.
What? Not one, not two, not three, but four. Mm-hmm. Okay, nice.
Yep. They're nice. They're definitely nice. Mm-hmm. And they said they will be available before the end of the year. I don't even think you can pre-order them yet.
That's right. Yeah, and by the end of the year does not mean October.
Right. And when you go to get the page where you can say, email me when these are ready, it says U.S. only.
Ah.
Which I guess that's because of Cortana. That's my guess.
I showed the headphone video, so I guess I ought to show the videos of the other devices.
These videos are nice because you can see the wallpapers that Apple's going to steal next year.
Yeah, it's funny how much these ads look like all look the same. Apple and Microsoft. This one's not in black, so you get a choice of black or magnesium.
There's a choice. Yes, magnesium and black. Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. Finally, Surface All Access, which means you can pay for this for 2 years. Right.
Yep.
This is
you can
what we thought we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. And they're doing
remember
for
they
all
killed
the devices.
Surface, what was it called? Surface Plus?
Surface Plus Consumer Plus. Financing. They killed quietly at the very end of August, I think. They just stopped doing it. And we were like, okay, they must be doing another financing program. So that's what this is, Surface All
Through
Access.
Dell, which is interesting.
Yep.
And is that who does the Xbox financing?
I think it is, yep. And it's who does, what was the other financing they just announced recently? I think the business Surface Plus is Dell also.
Okay.
So the idea is you pick your device and then there's a monthly fee, $25 bucks a month for 2 years for the Go, the cheapest device. And it was like 100 something bucks for a Surface Studio.
Yeah, 151 for a studio.
That includes Office 365.
Yep.
Okay.
Doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah, and it's a zero interest rate. So, I mean, you're going to pay that much one way or the other. It's just whether mm-hmm. – a lot of businesses – I know our business, I think we take depreciation immediately. So
right.
We would prefer to buy it outright. And I bet you mm-hmm. a lot of businesses are that way. But if you were depreciating
you know, small businesses that can't really afford to –
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Pay for
certainly
the
students,
front.
Individuals, homes. Yeah. And the mm-hmm. and in 2 years, you keep paying, but you get the newer device or what? Is that how
that's
it works?
A good question. I'm not really sure. I don't know if we.
What happens after 2 years?
Yeah, that part
years?
I don't know. That's how the old one worked. Was you could wasn't it that after I think it was after 3 years.
Well, you own it after 2 years period. I mean,
you
do
own
it. So they're just basically spreading the payments out over 24 months.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. That's good. Makes it easy for people to buy.
Yep.
Zero interest rate, so you're not paying more to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, why not do it except for the tax write-off, I guess.
Right.
So both of you made predictions. And both of you foolishly.
I didn't actually look.
Both of you foolishly put those on the internet so we can see.
Mine isn't even working. I can fix it, though.
What did we say? It was probably something terrible.
So I predicted that there would be refreshes of the Surface Pro and the Surface Laptop, that they would be relatively minor refreshes. And I also had that Microsoft was going to introduce a new headset. But I didn't know that it would look like it did, because when I had it described to me by my sources, it was more like a Jabra headset, which makes me wonder if that also is somewhere in the pipeline down there.
Interesting.
So pretty good. My prediction level was decent.
Pretty
good. I linked to the wrong article, so I will bring up the correct one. Sorry.
Although this is a good one too, but I won't. I imagine
we'll get to that. That's
pick of the week or something. So
no new form factors. Obviously, that's true. Surface PC updates, Surface Laptop, Surface Pro, and almost certainly Surface Studio. Eighth gen, that was true except for Studio. Windows is part of it, which it was. Microsoft will launch Windows 10 version 18.09 at the event, which they did. We'll get to that in a moment. Microsoft did not discuss the next version of Windows 10, which is true.
Mostly.
We heard, I'm not sure. I actually think the thing they announced is for this version, but yes.
You do?
Yeah, I do. And then I had questions around whether... Because people had asked me Xbox, HoloLens, and Surface Hub 2, and I said I don't expect to see anything like that.
Yep.
At these events. I think actually that was pretty good.
Good. You guys know your business.
I know. We were pretty good. We didn't hear anything also about the Surface Pro with LTE, which some people were...
Yeah.
I mean, the Surface Go with LTE, but I hear that's still on, but just coming later this year, so they didn't really talk about that.
I always thought that was a December thing, which is what they did last year. With the Pro. Yeah. That's how I always took that, like late in the year.
Mm-hmm. They also talked about, it was kind of, I guess this is the plan, right? The 1809 shipped at the kind of during the event. Is that right?
Yeah. They didn't use the term seekers, but basically people that seek it out can go get it as of yesterday. I just started doing that today.
Yep. I installed it on my Surface Studio and my
Lenovo.
And
then Patch Tuesday is next week, and that's typically when they start a public deployment of this kind of thing. Uh-huh. So this schedule kind of makes sense, actually.
It's the same way they did the April, isn't it? Basically.
Originally.
I did three upgrades. All went flawlessly. Two Surface devices and one Lenovo device. So
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's nice. We've been talking about it for some time, so I don't think... Yeah. Anybody who listens to this show will be surprised by anything.
Yeah.
There was one thing I was surprised, which is when you first do it, Edge runs and says, oh, by the way, the third-party cookie thing, that was broken, but it's working now.
Yeah, that is the stupidest dialogue box.
It really calls attention to it, I'll tell you.
You just kind of want to golf clap these guys sometimes. Like, seriously, it's a terrible...
Do you think it's a GDPR thing or...
Why would you tell people this?
You could go. Well, I guess it's they say, something may work differently now that we're not actually allowing third-party cookies. So just so you know.
Maybe.
All right. Well,
it's kind of an embarrassing admission. First. How long was it? How long was it?
Yeah,
not
like
working?
The entire previous 6 months,
I tell you what, it's not the greatest. That's the first thing that happens when you get into 1809 when it's running and everything's fine. It's the first thing it tells
you. That's what you want to see.
We screwed up.
We didn't tell you when you were running the other one, but that was completely
screwed up. It was a mess.
So yeah, insiders and seekers, like you said, they didn't call them seekers. They can get it immediately. Like if you go look for it, you'll get it as long as your device is able to handle it. And then next week start to roll out through Windows Update on Patch Tuesday. So people who are in the enterprise looking for VLSC, Volume Licensing Center version, they're saying within weeks or in the coming weeks or something. So we don't really know exactly when.
If you are in that system, you should know that by now. That
That's how that works.
It's just it's always like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what else rolled out yesterday that didn't get a lot of fanfare for some reason?
It's getting it
Windows
for me.
Server 2019.
No, it's not.
Started
not
rolling out.
You were talking about something else.
I was afraid. I thought you were going to be a little busy because the event wouldn't notice that.
Windows Server 2019 is available for download. Yep, on the Volume Licensing Servicing Center. But they're having some people are having problems getting it, but it's supposed to be there. And on the Azure Marketplace, it's there. Also on MSDN, I believe you can get it now.
Poor Mary Jo. We mock her so endlessly for her.
You do, and I just continue my merry way.
And truthfully,
kind of hoodoops her way down the lane.
I do.
Paul, just between you and me, the enterprise stuff sells ads better than anything else. So,
yeah, actually, and between you and me,
she's paying our way.
Yeah. I still have no idea what Hadoop is. I got to tell you.
I know there's an elephant. That's all.
And then one day you will no longer laugh.
We laughed at Azure, and we were wrong.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, yep. We were wrong.
Yeah.
So no, I was talking about the Android screen mirroring. Was I sleeping during some of the show in previous weeks? That sounded. I didn't expect
it's
that.
New.
That did they? Did,
oh, Mary Jo, I'm sorry. Did you mean this when you were saying possibly the next version?
Yeah.
That I could see. That I could see. I was thinking more of the. The other features in the Europe and the it's actually maybe this would come through there. It seems like this might require an OS level component, but it is if it comes through the Your Phone app. I mean, technically,
right.
I suppose
they could
add it.
Right?
It's just an app, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not here now. It's not here yet.
No.
So they actually previewed a couple of things, which I thought was kind of interesting.
You want me to start it?
Yes, please. I'm sorry.
Okay. At the Android app mirroring thing that we're talking about right now, they did a demo of this during our event yesterday. So the way they demoed it was they showed Snapchat on somebody's Android phone being mirrored onto their Windows 10 PC so that you could go on your PC and actually have the conversation in Snapchat from the PC instead of doing it on your phone. Just like, you know, just like they're doing with SMS messaging if you have your phone and you have an Android phone. The thing where you can view your last 25 photos if you have an Android phone, all courtesy of the Europhone app. So we don't have that now, right? It's not even an insider build, this app mirroring thing.
Right. When they originally announced Europhone, there were three parts to it. There was notifications, messages, and photos. Two of those are available today with the shipping version of Windows 10 1809. The one that's missing is notifications. So they showed a future version of the app that had notifications in it, obviously, but it also had apps. And it was a grid of icons, you know, like the all apps screen in Android or whatever. Mm-hmm. Obviously mirroring the app list that was on your phone. Yep. By the way, I don't want to read too much into this. I don't think these things are 100% related, but I do find it kind of interesting that Terry Myerson canceled a project that would have allowed Android apps to run directly on Windows. And I was told specifically because it worked too well. That this would have undermined the app platform that he was promoting. Now that Terry's gone, it's not the same, like I said, not the same thing, but they're bringing a capability to run, essentially, sort of, run Windows apps on your, I'm sorry, Android apps Android on your apps. Windows PC. Yep. It's kind of interesting.
It is.
You're not installing them there, right? I mean, it's not the same. But maybe this is another example of things changing.
I know. I thought of the same thing when I saw this. I'm like, oh, so they never did Project Astoria. I mean, they tested it. And like you said, it worked too well. They claimed we don't really need it because we have the iOS bridge. And everybody who has an Android app has an iOS app. No, not really true. Plus, the iOS bridge, by the way, is pretty much dead. No one uses that. So
I heard from people on who worked on the Android thing, and they were really disappointed because it really was. Apparently, I didn't see it, but apparently it was really, really good.
And I always used to wonder if they did Project Astoria, like, why would you even need Windows? If you want to run native Android apps, like,
well, I mean, you could kind of mix and match. I mean, you know, the point of Windows 10 in many ways is you can run all those legacy desktop apps that everyone actually needs and wants, but you can also run these new modern mobile apps. Well, that app platform never took off, but the Android one did. What, I mean, I'd have to think of an example of an app that made a ton of sense, but the one I mentioned to you the other day was Outlook Mobile, which I preferred with the Windows 10 Mail app. I could run the tablet version of that, you know, conceivably, or assuming the app is written correctly on my screen, it could apparently maybe appear as the full app would, you know, like the tablet version. That would be fantastic. Anyway, it's a good idea. It was always a good idea.
So again, this is kind of interesting for people who are, you know, you're working on your PC, you don't want to pull your phone out, you want to just continue in the flow of work like they keep talking about. Same thing with the SMS messaging and the photos, you know, you can do everything. It is. It's on your PC. You can just keep working while you're Snapchatting or whatever else.
I think it's fine. It's a good idea. Most people probably do have their phone out, honestly, you know, whatever, but my phone is sitting next to me right now. If I was I could be in a coffee shop or wherever I am. A text message comes in, just that simple ability to write with the keyboard, you know, the real keyboard on the computer versus the tiny thing, which my gorilla hands can never seem to handle, is wonderful, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some scenarios where this makes sense.
I get a lot of questions. Will this ever come to iOS? I doubt it, right? I mean, will Apple let Microsoft access the platform at that level where they would be able to do something like this?
I hear from a lot of people who are like kind of diehard, you know, I'm never going to give up hope kind of types. And do you think Apple would, Microsoft would strike up a deal so they could take on Google together? And because they both hate Google. And it's like, I'm sorry. Like I know you want to believe there's some magical fail, you know, thing that's going to save everything. I don't think that. So no, I don't think this can ever come.
I know.
To iPhone, in the way it can on Android.
Yeah. So your question is: so is this something that Microsoft could just roll out anytime? Could they roll it out to people who have the October update, or do you have to wait for the next version of Windows, the 19H1, something to be turned on there to make it work? That's what we don't know, right?
That's right. So there could be some underpinnings. Just to make the display responsive or something, it's some kind of a remote desktop type thing. It may be it could be some combination. It will be exposed to the Europhone app, but will it require 19H1 or whatever it's called? Yeah, actually, that's a good question. We don't know.
Sorry. There was a quick tweet that 1809 was on the Volume Licensing Center, but it looks like only the ARM 64 bits, maybe.
What everyone wants.
I know. That's what somebody just said. Boy. Yeah, just what everyone wants. I'm like, okay, forget it. I'll delete that.
That's fun.
So I was thinking, there was one other thing I wanted to say about the Surface event, because this question also has come up, and I forgot to add it before we moved to Windows 10. But one thing we got to do a lot yesterday was chat with members of the Surface team who were kind of milling around, and people who worked on Windows and Office. They were all there in the showcase. I asked Stevie Batiche, who's basically the chief mad scientist of Surface, about the thing everyone always asks for, which is a version of Surface Studio that was just the monitor without the compute. Right. And, you know, for a while they were saying, that's not really what we want to do.
Yeah, they denied that for a long time, that they were ever going to do that.
Well, yesterday when I asked him this question, he kind of hedged.
Ooh, good.
So I wonder if there will be a Surface Studio monitor in our near future.
Because the real problem here is they can't keep this thing up to date fast enough.
Yeah. And since people love the screen.
I've always wanted that because if you have a 3x2 display, they could match the resolution, which I think would be brilliant too, 3000x2000. And if you just replace your internal display with external, it's just 1-to-1. You don't, nothing gets mashed around, nothing changes. Yeah. It just works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've wanted this for years.
Yep. So that may happen.
It's interesting because this exact same question came up when we first got the Surface Studio. And I remember they denied it vigorously. Never going to happen. So it's interesting they're not so vigorous.
I know. They weren't really denying it. They were like, yeah, you know, we know people want that.
that'd be a good point.
I'm like, yep.
Whatever it's worth, I'm using an HP all-in-one right now that is it's probably 27 inches. It's 4K. It's got a little base. It's nice. It's a beautiful screen. The computer itself is kind of, you know, it's like i5. It can only go up to 16 gigs of RAM, whatever. But the interesting feature of this is you can pop the screen off of it, and you can buy a base for it and just use it as a display.
Oh, wow.
You can also replace the screen. If the screen goes south, you could pop the screen off.
There's no reason you couldn't do, you shouldn't be able to do that. Yeah. That's, I mean.
It seems like maybe a future version of Studio could be like that. They could offer it in both versions and, you know.
Yeah. The other interesting tidbit was I didn't get to interview Panos Panay like in a sit-down interview, but Tom Warren did from The Verge. And it sounds like another peripheral they are building is possibly a Surface-branded webcam.
Okay.
Which is interesting. They're really getting into this, like, accessories business now, right?
I wonder if this has anything to do with Surface Studio, which has a weird-looking USB. You said USB-C, right? That's how that plugs into Surface Studio.
Yeah, that's probably how that is. Yep.
Maybe that's what it is.
Could
Maybe
be.
They're doing their own camera.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting, too.
Okay, now do we want to talk about Windows 10?
Yeah.
Yep, we're done.
18?
I guess we should talk about the build today, right, that just came
19H1.
Yep.
We're moving right along now, all of a sudden. There used to be a processes in replace that we were privy to, and now they're just slapping the stuff down as fast as they can. I don't know.
Yeah, so right before the show, a new build came out of 19H1, which is the new version of Windows that's going to come out next year. And what's different here is it went to both skip ahead and fast ring at the same time, which makes sense because Microsoft is done now with Redstone 5, and now we're moving on to the next thing.
It makes sense, sort of.
I know what you're going to say. You want to keep that for your tip?
I got to keep that for later. But the issue with this really is that they only just released this version of Windows yesterday. Yeah. And usually Donna or somebody will provide insiders with a heads up. You know, if you want to get out of this now, now is your time. But this thing just kind of came out.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about that a little bit more in my tip because it screwed up my tip, you jerks. But
sorry.
There's a couple small new features in today's build. They're doing some things with how you're going to configure advanced Ethernet IP settings. And there's also a new unified icon for when you're disconnected from the internet, instead of having all these separate icons for like cellular and Wi-Fi and Ethernet. Otherwise, it's like a lot of fixes. We're still not talking about any major features yet for 19H1.
Yeah.
I don't know when we will be talking about that. Hopefully sometime soon.
Do we talk about
where
sets?
We are.
Was that just privately or did we do this last week? I don't remember.
Yeah, sets isn't in here, is it? Or is it?
No, not yet, but it's it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be. They haven't walked away from it.
No. Right. Yeah, that's it. That's all we need
to say
about that.
That's all there is to say. It's here.
Yep.
It's here. This naming is going to be, did you ask about the naming? Is this going to be?
If this is just a code name or not.
Yeah.
I would expect them to continue with the month year thing. So I would expect the next one will be April 2019 update.
Yep.
I think this is just a code name.
Okay.
Is my guess.
Yeah. This was originally called RS6 internally.
It was.
And in fact, a lot of Microsoft guys still have a hard time not saying it.
Yeah.
But again, Terry's gone, so we're changing everything. So, you know, they're getting rid of the name.
Yeah, and they're, you know, now they're part of Azure Engineering, so they're going to start, I would assume, going with what they do for code names and adopting to how they do things there now, which is different.
Yep. That's fine. The consistency is good.
So when Panos Panay took your Surface, you did continue to tweet. Did you do that on your Surface phone or did you get your Surface back?
I did have a phone.
Okay.
I was in the middle of writing when he took it, which I didn't appreciate.
Oh, jeez.
No, it's okay. It was all in good fun. It's fine.
All in good fun. That's what bullies say when they kick your butt.
Well, you know, it's a little school lunch, you know, money. Yeah. Right? It's okay.
Yeah. It's all in good fun. One of your tweets, many of your tweets, you seem to be inordinately excited about to-do lists coming to Outlook.com. No, I'm just teasing. Because I know you like the Wunderlist kids.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, to-do list and task list and things is one of those things Microsoft has too many of these days, right? And so if you go into Cortana in Windows 10, you can connect it to Wunderlist, which is dead, but you can't connect it to Microsoft To-Do, which is crazy. So one of the things they announced yesterday, it was not Windows 10 or our service related, was that Microsoft To-Do was coming to Outlook.com. When they first showed it, I thought they were looking at Outlook 2016 or 2019 or something, but it was actually Outlook.com, which makes tons of sense. By the way, it's
that was confusing what they were showing at one point.
Well, they say Outlook, right?
Yep.
The other thing it's coming to, this was not part of the announcement, but I saw this later in a blog post about 1809, is Microsoft To-Do is also part of the new Skype client in Windows 10. So I think kind of plastering this thing everywhere, this is kind of what I was talking about. You have this one back end and you have all these different clients. It should you shouldn't have different tasks engines. You know, you should have one. And it kind of seems like they are heading toward that. You know, Outlook.com has had a task or to-do location for a long time, but they're replacing it with Microsoft To-Do. And that's exactly perfect.
Did you, when you were talking about timeline, did you mention that it's headed to Android?
We knew it was, but now it is.
Now it is. Okay. Yeah. Enough said.
No,
but
I mean,
we don't know. Will that ever go to iPhone? Another one of those questions. Will that ever happen on iPhone either?
So it's available on iPhone through Microsoft Edge, right? Which is an app.
Right. That's right. Okay.
Technically, you can do timeline through the apps. And so if you're working in a Word document and Word Mobile on iOS, that should and could appear in timeline. I think that will, that's how it will happen. The timeline feature in Android is via the Microsoft Launcher, which is their home screen replacement, right? And so when you swipe left off of the home screen on a stock Android phone, you get the Google feed or whatever they just renamed it to, the Discover feed or whatever. In Microsoft To Do, they're changing it. It's in the beta now and eventually it'll be in the normal version. I think there are three tabs across the top. The first one is the normal feed, which you can customize to however you want. But the second one over is timeline. And it works cross-device. So you could be working on a document or whatever it is on your computer, go out into the world with your phone, and if you want to do some light edits or go look at that thing, it will show up in the timeline list there. It's actually, it's one of those fun things we would have had if, you know, Windows Mobile had ever made it. But I guess you can get it on Android soon or in beta now if you use the Microsoft Launcher.
Microsoft deprioritizes Office Mobile on Windows 10.
Yeah, we made a quick reference to this earlier in the show, but at Ignite last week, Rich Woods from Neowin was talking to some folks from Microsoft after a session, and he was asking them about the touch-first Office Mobile apps for Windows. And the person he was talking to said, by the way, we're deprioritizing those. We're actually just going to keep doing new features for iOS and Android, the Office apps on iOS and Android, and we're not going to come out with new features for Office Mobile on Windows. Which seems like, wait a minute, what? And they did. So they didn't say it's because we're going to do X, but Paul and I are both guessing it's because we're going to do a PWA version of Office that they're doing this, right? But they never said that. And, you know, you might say, okay, if you don't have a Windows phone, who cares about this? Well, if you have a small device with a screen size of 10.1 inches or under, like the Surface Go, you can run these Office Mobile apps on there for free. So there are people who are doing this. Right. There are people who are doing that. And I was one of them, actually, because I was like, oh, I can just put that on there and that works great. And now it's like, oh, wait, but they're not going to have any more new features for that. They didn't say they're killing it, but I would guess that's the next step.
A couple, couple of things. So, you know, with full Office, you have the problem that these are big applications, obviously. Yeah. And if you're running on a smaller device, you know, whatever. This year, they are introducing the simplified ribbon. And honestly, that looks a lot like the UI of Office Mobile. And so I think that kind of crosses the simplicity gulf a little bit. Mm-hmm. I can't help with the size thing too much, or the licensing thing, actually. But, you know, there's that. I think that might play into it a little bit. And then just the general failure of UWP as a platform. You know, they're putting desktop apps in the store. This suite of apps, the full apps, runs on S mode if you want to do that. It runs in Windows 10 on ARM if that's what you want. So it's basically globally available, right, if you want it. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
But you have to buy the subscription to get it, right?
Yeah, but Microsoft wants you to buy the subscription. So.
I know. That's what they want you to do, but a lot of people don't want to buy the subscription.
Yeah.
They're cheap. Like
So okay. But there's a very simple solution to this problem, right, which is you just alter the Office 365 licensing a little bit. Or the app licensing, if it can detect you're running on a small screen device, it should enable all the features on the full Office and just let you do it. Because what's the point anyway? They're running it on like a little. Who has these things? No one really.
I mean, I know.
Mini
right.
tablets. There's really not that many of them. So, no one's going to write the next great American novel on an 8-inch mini tablet. So, you
know, I just tell people use Office Online, right? Because that. Yeah. is continuing, and that works fine.
And by the way, it looks awesome. If you, I think I showed this to you the other day. If you look at Word Online today, or I think PowerPoint Online as well, and then compare it to the full desktop apps, like the online versions are way nicer looking. Like they're way nicer looking.
Yeah.
And that's kind of strange.
It was kind of shocking when I saw Rich tweet this. I was like, what? But then afterwards,
I thought he was wrong. I'm like, this is not correct.
Yeah, but he was right. Microsoft confirmed it. So, yep.
There you go. Classic Skype.
Yep. Bye-bye. Leo, I'm happy to announce that I am today using Skype 8.
Oh.
You are? Are you using it for the show?
It's working.
Yep.
Okay. It's working well.
Okay.
Yep. Let's get a close-up. Nice. You look good, Paul.
I surrendered. You got me. I don't have multiple windows, jerks, but it's okay. It's okay. Aww. I don't need multiple windows. I'm a simpleton. It's fine. I'll just Alt-Tab. Oh, that doesn't work. Anyway, maybe there's a keyboard shortcut. Actually, if anyone knows a keyboard shortcut to switch between conversations in Skype.
That would be nice.
My God, would I be happy to know about that.
That would be
You mean in Skype 8, the UWP person,
because in
right?
Skype 7 and before, there were different windows, and you could just Alt-Tab between them. It was wonderful. You can't, like, you think, well, maybe Control-Tab, maybe. No, it doesn't work. I don't know. Maybe it's there.
Right.
I'm not saying it isn't. I'm saying I haven't found it.
It's funny.
So Skype Classic, the thing we're calling Skype Classic is Skype 7, which a lot of people love. Microsoft gave it a brief reprieve and said, okay, we're not going to kill it as soon as we thought we were going to kill it. But then last week they said, well, now we have dates for killing it. So
this dates are still pretty close.
They are. So support for Skype 7 ends on November 1st this year for desktop and November 15th for mobile and tablet devices. And when they say they're dropping support, they don't mean like we won't give you patches. They mean we're going to get rid of the product completely.
Yeah, it's going away. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you're going to have to go to UWP. And they claim that the reason they're doing this now is they feel like they have moved over enough of the features that people wanted in Skype 7 to Skype 8, and they're ready to say it's time to move. Of course,
I want to be
as
clear
soon as they said
that
this,
they have not done that.
I know. I was just going to say, and everybody disagrees who is in my Twitter stream and said, look, they don't have this, they don't have this, they don't have this. So... yeah, they know. They're hearing your cries of anguish, and I'm not sure.
I think they are.
I think they're hearing them, and they're just like, well.
What's the appropriate thing to send in the mail? Like dead fish, or what's the? How does that work? Horse's head.
Yeah, horse's head. A leather folio.
Ooh, right. Nice. I can't really use Skype personally because I get so many. You know, spammy requests.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Like, here's one I get. I must have approved it because They're on my contact list. Trut, professional power bank, charger bank factory in China.
Ooh, I like those guys. Rich Woods asked me why I wasn't using Hangouts as my SMS or MMS app, whatever it is, on Android. And I was like, why on earth would I do that? And what was the reason? I think it syncs between phones. I don't remember what he said, but I reinstalled Hangouts just to look at it because I'm stupid like that. And I had like 1,127 requests from someone named Candy in Thailand or something.
It's the worst.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I do use it because for that very reason, it's on all my phones, and it's on my computer.
The sheer amount of spam in there is.
But I get every day. I get a call. Well, if you keep it open all the time, it's only a couple a day. But every day, I get at least one call from somebody, mostly in French.
Really?
Because my Skype handle has Laporte in it. My Hangouts handle has Laporte in it. So mostly in French, going coucou, je suis en train de block.
Oh boy,
it must work, but you'd have to be awfully lonely to respond to those, or gullible.
I am both lonely and gullible. Could you please forward that to me, Leo, so I could enjoy it?
Hey, we got one more item, and then we're going to get to the back of the book.
It's true,
Mary Jo. I mentioned that because I see that you haven't finished your homework.
I have not. I have one thing to add.
Yes. Okay. I'm just saying.
Yep.
We all count on it.
Don't worry. It will be there.
This is a good one. Paul Thurrott. Microsoft is open sourcing DOS.
Is this one mine?
Oh, is it Mary Jo's?
Actually, yep.
Wow. I can't believe it.
I know. So remember, Microsoft did open source DOS through the Computer History Museum a few years back.
Yeah.
But now they're doing it again, and this time they're doing it on GitHub, which is very interesting.
Well, they
They do own it, yep. They own GitHub, and they own MS-DOS.
Yeah. And it's not MS-DOS 5.
No, it's 1.25 and 2.
No, it's not a modern version of MS-DOS.
No. And, some people get really excited, like, oh, wow, this is going to be great. We can, do pull requests on this and stuff. I'm like, guys, not what's happening here, right?
I'd like to commit... bug fix from 1982.
It was the oldest version they have up. Is that the first one where they actually power washed all the references to CPM 86 out of it?
Funny.
How does that work?
I don't know.
What was that poor guy's name? The guy
Gary Kildall.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the guy.
No, you're thinking of Seattle Computer System.
Seattle Computer.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Bill called him and said, We just need a DOS for internal purposes.
I think it's $1,200 maybe.
Yeah, it shouldn't be expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not telling him that IBM is knocking.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, though. Microsoft got their money's worth because they had to fix some stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they put this on GitHub because they said, it's just for reference and internal experimentation for people who want to kick around with the source code, but it's not for hey, now we can do something with open sourced MS-DOS.
You're going to want to break out your latest copy of MASM 5.11, I believe is the last version.
Is it assembly language? Let me look at it.
It is all written in assembly language.
Oh, neato. Yeah. Oh, this is actually fun.
Yep.
Steve Gibson will be digging into this.
Actually,
he
MASM,
will.
I think, wasn't there?
It's not, to be clear, open source. You can't compile it and sell it.
No. And a guy's can I fork this and do something with it?
I'd like to fork it.
Yeah, you can fork it. You can make the next Linux out of it.
Let's see. Xenix memory calls for MS-DOS. Caution, the following routines. Yeah, it's assembly language, boy. This is nice, though. I mean, it's commented. Somebody's gone through it, obviously, and cleared out the swear words.
Well, I said, I think there's been a power washing.
And the Seattle DOS mentions.
Mm-hmm.
The
literally identical system calls to CPM 86.
Wow, this is fun. This
pretty
is really
cool, right?
Fun. Yeah, I like this. I'm going to be going through this. Command.asem.
Yeah.
I think students ASM would be very interesting. Very interesting. You say ASM?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say ASM. Oh,
everything I know how to say comes from reading, Leo. I don't know how to pronounce anything.
Oh, I don't either. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody pronounce it?
I know, right?
Literally, when you said that, it was the first time I even considered it. That there was a different,
Yeah, Sam. It is MASM. I'll go with you on that. But But I think if it's .asm, it's assembly language. So it's ASM. You get to see all that fun segment code to get around the 8086 memory management.
Yeah.
If IBM ver syscall.
If IBM, right.
If IBM.
If Lotus.
If Lotus, do not run.
If Dur.
I think Lotus, we should. Exactly. There's got to be some smoking guns in here. They can't have
there
sanitized the whole thing.
I know. I think there has to be.
Although, yep. It's surprisingly, there's not much. I mean, it is really not complex. It's kind of cool. It's nicely done. You know what? I think this is this would be fascinating for somebody who's studying operating systems and. X86 assembly language.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Someone who was lonely and unsocial.
Yeah. If you just want to spend time in your basement, there's nothing better. The Microsoft.
God, I wish it was the 1980s again.
Those were the days, weren't they, Paul? We didn't have to talk to people. Mom would make you a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Screen.
No, it's awesome. Mom! Yep. Bring me a grilled cheese sandwich. I'm coding.
I ripped my keyboard template again. I got to go to the back of compute and order another one.
Oh, those were the... Coming up the back of the book, ladies and gentlemen, the tip of the week, app of the week, enterprise pick of the week, code name of the week, and if Mary Jo Foley gets to work...
I'm almost done.
The beer of the week. But first, the mortgage company of the week. Of the year, of the last 8 years, Quicken Loans, number one in customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power, 8 years in a row. And as of last December, the number one mortgage lender in the country in volume, number of loans. That's awesome. And, you know, I think they go hand in hand. There's a, you know, the guy they beat, the big bank, deserved to be taken down a notch or two, if you ask me. That's who we got our home mortgage from last time, Lisa and I, when we bought our house. Now 5 years ago. Exactly. Today is the fifth anniversary of moving into our house and of our long nightmare. Because we had applied for the loan in August. Made an offer on the house in August. We thought, oh, how long can this take? You know, fill out the big application, get the pay stubs, get the bank statements, do all that work. How long could this take? We're going on vacation in a month, but it's got to be done by then. Nope. Went on vacation. We're on a cruise ship. We're faxing materials back to the bank.
We need the pay stubs from 1982.
It just went on and on and on. I've told this story before. We almost lost the house. The seller said, guys, I'm going to sell it to somebody else. What's going on? Rocket Mortgage, no trip to the bank, no long application, no going to the attic to get pay stubs, no calling the financial institutions for statements. No, they do it all. If you go to rocketmortgage.com/windows, you can get started right now. Just create an account. Then when you see something you like, you could start the power buying process. Here's how it works. Step one, you answer a few simple questions. They'll check your credit. Boom. Within 10 minutes, in most cases, pre-qualified approval. That's it. You choose the rate, the loan, the down payment. You get what you need. Step two, and this takes about 24 hours, Quicken Loans will verify your income, your assets, and your credit. No work on your part. They do it all for you. And you get verified approval. Now you've got a button on your Rocket Mortgage app that says print letter, or you can just show the seller. It says they're good for it. They're verified. You are basically a cash buyer now. You go right to the front of the line. That's awesome. But this is the best part. Step three. Once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. And this is all because interest rates have started to tick up a little bit. They were flat for a long time, but, you know, they've started to tick up. And it was like that back in 2013, I think, when Lisa and I got a home. And I remember it was like, we better hurry because a quarter point interest rate on a 30-year loan, we're going to tens of thousands of dollars difference. That's a lot. So you kind of feel that pressure to buy, but that's not a good way to buy a house. You really need to – Lisa, she told me. She said, no, it wasn't meant to be. That's not the one. We'll be patient, and I'm glad because we got a great house. Almost lost it. Thank you, big bank, but we got a great house. Now you can do this all with no anxiety, no pressure, because your rate is locked in for up to 3 months, up to 90 days. If the rates go up, and they probably will, yours won't. If the rates go down, they probably won't, but if the rates go down, yours go down. So you can't, it's, you can't lose. It's win either way. Rate Shield approval. It's exactly what you'd expect from America's biggest and best mortgage lender. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. It's a little confusing. It's Quicken Loans. Does it? They call the product Rocket Mortgage. So it's the same. It's Quicken Loans. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. RocketMortgage.com/windows. And we thank Rocket Mortgage and Quicken Loans for making Windows Weekly a reality. And now, Paul Thurrott. Tip of the week, and it's magic. Yeah,
this is more like the non-tip of the week. So every time there's a new version of Windows 10, I talk about this magic window. And the magic window works in two directions. If you're on the Insider Preview and you want to hop off the bus, you can drop the Insider Preview. You're on the last version of Windows, you know, the next version of Windows 10. You'll just pick up the shipping version of Windows 10 updates going forward. So it's kind of the time period between the time when they finalize the product and then they ship the new version. So you can get off the bus. For people who want the next version immediately, the magic window is also a time when you can sign up for the Insider Preview, install the latest build, and then unsign up, you know, and you're on the latest build and now you're on that version. This time around, they did things a little differently. So like we said, they made the new version of Windows 10 available yesterday to seekers. They never warned that this was coming. So because we had been bitten last time in 1803, remember the magic window happened, a lot of people upgraded, and then they said, oops, we made a huge mistake. We have to do this over again. They delayed the release. People had to go through this kind of painful process. I think I did it on, it was either 8 or 11 PCs, but you basically had to sign back up for Insider, reboot, install the new build, reboot, turn off Insider, reboot. You know, it was just a terrible experience. So anyway, this morning I said, well, it's safe now. The new version's out.
Sure.
And then sometime in the next week or so, they'll release a new FastRing build and the magic window will close. Great. So I wrote this article up. Here's the thing. They released the new build today. So there's never been a one-day delta
a short window
before.
It's a short window.
And so here's my advice. If you're listening to this and it's like Friday or Saturday, it's over. You already missed it. You're screwed. If it's Wednesday, if you're watching it live, or maybe Thursday, if you're lucky and you haven't used the computer, you can, you know, sign in, go to settings, go to the Windows Insider tab, disenroll, reboot, and you should be okay, hopefully. Don't look at Windows update, it will screw everything up. But this window is very short, unfortunately. Sorry. So last time I screwed up, well, Microsoft screwed up, but it screwed me up. This time I was being conservative about it because I didn't want that to happen again. And guess what? It screwed up anyway. Nice. So yeah, I tried. So the magic window is, it's been slammed shut on my fingers.
Instantly.
Yeah, like literally 24 hours.
It's like, Lucy and the football. They got you.
Mary Jo, I think we'll agree to this. They don't usually ship builds on Wednesdays. So normally, the earliest they could possibly do this would be Friday. Am I wrong?
Mm. No, usually they do drop builds on Wednesday right before Windows Weekly, right?
I thought it was Tuesday and Friday. No.
Sometimes Tuesday, sometimes Wednesday. Yeah.
All right. Well,
I was still surprised they did this today, too. I was very surprised, too. I'm like, oh, they're merging fast and skipping
or somebody. Yeah. Usually this morning.
And they warn people in the post today, if you're worried about this because you're like, wait, this is going to be really buggy at the beginning and I'm on the fast ring, you can always drop down to the slow ring, right?
Yeah, but you can't. Once you've installed this build, right? Well, you can, but you can't get out.
But you can. It's you can't like get totally out. Yeah.
The magic window is when you can get out.
Yeah.
Right. So I know I've missed some. I've done about 5 computers today because of this. That's why I had the thing next to me when I was showing to the HP. Like I was making sure I got to the, because I want to keep everything on RS5 because I'm working on the book. Mm-hmm. But anywho, Good luck with that, everybody.
Keep your fingers out of the window.
Yeah.
If you do completely scrub your computer and you want to start over from scratch, it is available, it being RS5, from the download Windows 10 ISO site. So you can you can go there, upgrade immediately if you want to do that, download the ISO if you want to do that. It's all there. So it's more of a wall than a window. And then the app pick is I spared Mary Jo some Xbox today, but I do have an Xbox pick of a sort. Forza Horizon 4 is out actually as of yesterday. It's on Xbox One and Windows 10. It's an Xbox Play Anywhere game. So if you buy it, you get it on both, which is awesome. It's kind of an open world racing game. Awesome graphics and sound. It takes place in Britain this year. And if you have Xbox Game Pass, which you should, you'll get the standard edition of the game as part of that subscription. And if you want to buy, you can actually buy, this is a, I think this is new to this or unique to this version. You can actually buy a pack or package or whatever that upgrades you to the Ultimate Edition. And if you're an Xbox Game Pass subscriber, I think you get, I don't know the exact figure, I think you get 10% or 15% off if you want to do that as well. So that's available now.
Very nice.
And that one did not slam on my fingers.
Yay, Forza. Now, the Enterprise pick of the week from Mary Jo Foley.
The Enterprise pick is about the sessions from Ignite. I think, I don't know if it's, I can say every session, but many of the sessions that happened last week in Orlando are now available on demand for anybody. You can just go watch these at your leisure. You don't have to have gone to Ignite to get to see these. The way you do it is you go to techcommunity.microsoft.com, and then you click on the Ignite icon or logo that's in the middle of the page there, or you can also go up to events and click on Ignite, and then there's a tab there that says on demand. When you go to on demand, you can see all these sessions. They're right there. It's like they've got everything. They've got tons of Windows Server 2019. They've got lots of Microsoft 365. They've got security sessions. They've got Microsoft Graph sessions. They've got lots of things about the modern desktop and Windows, you know, how to upgrade Windows so that you're now on Microsoft 365 and taking advantage of all the things that they're doing with enterprise mobility and security. There's something for everybody there, and you can just go watch these anytime. I haven't had a second because we've been really busy these past few days to start watching these, but I plan to watch many of these myself.
Wealth of information.
Wealth of information, all there for the watching.
Nice.
Yep.
Actually, just real quick, be sure to watch the keynote stuff, right? Because I actually didn't watch the keynote. I went back and watched the Brad Anderson thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really worth doing, especially if you're concerned about the future of Windows or whatever. It was a really nice discussion.
Yep.
Is your pre-show on the video there?
God, I hope not.
I bet it is.
Ooh, I'd love to see that.
Yes, it could be.
Ooh,
it was.
I'd rather see a video of Panos taking my laptop away. Honestly,
I know. So yesterday's event isn't
nobody
anywhere,
got that, huh?
Right?
Nobody.
No,
cares
they told us no video during those.
Oh, you had to put away your phone, huh?
Mm. Well, we had them.
Well, we could take pictures. We just couldn't take video.
Hmm. Yeah,
it's so weird.
It was strange.
Well, I think half the people in the room would have live, you know, streamed it or
that's
whatever.
That's why Panos took your thing away. He said, you work with Laporte, right? I bet you're streaming this right.
Yeah, I know what you guys do.
I know what you guys do. Shut that man down. Codenames of the week.
Yeah. So, you know what? We didn't know the code name for Surface Pro 6 or Surface Laptop 2 or even the headphones going into this event. A lot of times these leak in advance, but I don't think anybody had any of those. It turns out, just like they did with Surface Go, there were multiple code names assigned, engineering and marketing, both assigning these things code names so that they can try to catch leakers, I would assume. So the code name, I had heard one code name. I had heard Croton, C-R-O-T-O-N, and I didn't know what device that was. And then I think it was like a couple days before somebody told me Forks also. So Walking Cat, our best sleuth of all, has found out that Surface Pro 6 was Croton. Mm. Surface Laptop 2 was Forks. Mm. And Surface Headphones were Jameson.
Mm.
But my question is, what connects those three words, if anything? And so that's one set of code names. And then he also heard Cruise was Surface Pro 6, Caprock was Surface Studio 2, and Foxburg was Surface Laptop 2. So I think what you're seeing is one group of these are the marketing code names. One group is the engineering code names. I'm not sure which is which. But I don't really know what the connection is between any of these.
Chat room, anybody? Do you guys? Anybody?
Anybody? Idea? Croton, Forks, and Jameson.
I'm thinking they must be geographic.
Me too.
Landmarks.
Like Croton, right? And, you know, in New York, there's Croton on Hudson.
Right.
But I'm like, what?
They sound Forks? Like rivers. They do sound like rivers.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
maybe.
It's Jameson, but it's not spelled the same as the whiskey. So they're not whiskeys. Or is it spelled the same as the whiskey?
I think it is.
Oh, is it? Maybe they're all whiskeys. You know, you could just go enter it into the Google.
I tried that. I tried Googling the three together and then just Forks and Croton, and I couldn't find any good connections. No. I'm like, I don't know.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
Anyway, it's a mystery, but those are some code names out there. If you just hear them in passing, you know, when you're walking around the street, that's what they're talking about.
I Googled it, sure. And I got the phone number for Van Wyck Liquors in Croton on Hudson.
Call them with Google Hangouts.
Let's do some beer, Mary Jo Foley. Let's do some beer.
Okay. I haven't done a Lagunitas pick in a while.
Our favorite. Just
your next door neighbors.
Yes.
I just got to have this the other day. It's called Lagunitas 12th of Never.
Oh, yeah.
It's an ale.
Yeah.
And their names are great. And what's good about this ale is it's light. It's 5.5%, but it still really tastes like a full-flavored beer. There's like a lot of citrus stuff going on. There's a lot of tropical fruit going on. And for hop heads like me, there are some nice hops in this as well. So, yeah, if you see this anywhere, it's in cans. It's sometimes on tap. It's delicious. Yeah. And I'm just happy to see Lagunitas keep keeping on. Yeah.
I told Mary Jo this story, but we were in a bar in Allentown, and they had a little section at the top of the menu for local beers. And the top one was for a place called Jack's Abbey, which is in Framingham, Massachusetts. Yeah. But on the list, it said Jack's Abbey, Framingham, PA. So I asked the bartender, I said, I'm curious. I've never heard of Framingham, Pennsylvania. Could you tell me where this is? And he's like, I've never heard of that either. I'm like, I think it's a little north of here.
M-A.
Yep.
M-A.
Definitely M-A.
M-A. Well, go get yourself some 12th of Never.
Yeah.
Because it's a good brew. I like beer.
Many of us do.
I drink beer.
I like eggs.
Do you like beer?
I like beer.
We are now concluding this thrilling and gripping edition of Windows Weekly. And I want to thank you for being here, Mary Jo Foley. She's from allaboutmicrosoft.com and takes time out of her busy day to spend it here with me and Paul. And I know it's hard. I know it's not easy.
What am I thinking?
What are you thinking? We appreciate it. Thank
you. You got to do something on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. Right. Therot, well, you know, he's taking time off Call of Duty. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
You have no idea.
Paul is at he's at Therot.com. Unless he's moved. He's at Therot.
All about Therot.
All about Therot. That's it. That's the name of that's basically what the site is. No, it's all about Windows. And together they form the dynamic duo of Microsoft News. And every Wednesday we gather here at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC to talk about Microsoft. I hope you will gather with us. You can watch live at twit.tv/live. You can join us in studio if you email tickets at twit.tv. You can download copies at twit.tv/ww. And if you have a mind to it, you can subscribe in your favorite podcast app, and you'll get a copy the minute it's available each and every Wednesday. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.